Hi, this is Gabe Kia, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. I'm sitting down here at Westport Plaza with old-time friend Gabe Kia. I was trying to think on the way down, like when we first met, and I don't know. I can't think of it.
I think it was maybe when Tommy Jonigan was headlining here. Yeah. And it was me, Tommy Jonigan, and Max Fitzgerald was hosting. Yeah, I think that was the first time that we met.
Could be. I do recall that night. That's one of my favorite pictures, actually, when all of us
Yeah, I think my eyes are closed in it, which is really good. And this is Gabe Kia, by the way. I didn't introduce myself. Oh, Gabe Kia here at the bar at Westport Plaza, Funny Bone. With Shane. Sorry.
Yeah. You're back in town, St. Louis. You're at the Heavy Anchor tomorrow night, if you're listening to this now, it'll be tonight.
It'll be tonight. Yeah, Wednesday.
Wednesday
night, 9 p.m. at the Heavy Anchor, doing the loser game show.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about doing it. I did it once before in Cincinnati, and now I'm going to do it in St. Louis. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was on episode, the first one, with Jeremy and Chris, and it was a pretty good time, man. I had a lot of fun. I really didn't know what I was doing. I don't think anybody really knew what we were doing yet. So we were still trying to feel it out. I don't think I performed at my best I could. I just didn't know what I was doing at all. So
that's exactly how I felt about my first time on there. It felt like I did not. Oh, we got a phone going off here in the background. That'll happen every once in a while. You know, the phones are ringing off the hook for the open mic tonight. That's what's going on. There's an open mic here at 8 p.m., so I'm promoting shows from yesterday. So if you want to go back in time. The game show's a lot of fun. It's very because I think the contestants are new all the time, it keeps it fresh and, like, they kind of just, you know, like it might seem like, oh, this is, you know, it went this way, went that way. So it is, it makes it more improvisational, more impromptu, and that's what you got to do when the phone's ringing.
Phones are lighting up.
Phones are lighting up.
Call in with those pledges, people.
Thanks. Yeah. If you're listening out there, please keep calling. We've got children to save via loser live action game show and pizza rolls to indulge in.
If you call today, you get a free book bag.
Free book bag, which was Jeremy Essig's book bag when he grew up, which I think the prizes are.
Yeah, it's always like they always got like a case full of bras or something over there. Remember Chris used to hand out a bunch of pictures of the Pope.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've actually got one in my apartment in Cincinnati. Those Pope pictures went long. I wonder if he's got more. If that would be something that he.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we just spoiled something or not. Maybe. Oh well.
I was getting up to look at the phone because I thought it was like a voice message that like it was going to keep ringing that until someone listened to the voicemail. And I think that might be the case. And it might be the locksmith that was that they're thinking about having come up here. But all right, I think we've got the phone issue resolved. That is until it rings again, but. It hasn't rang in some time, so we're good.
Yeah, we got it taken care of. So also there this weekend you are at the Valley Park Funny Bone.
Valley Park Funny Bone, correct.
With
Dan Chopin and Duke Taylor. Duke Taylor is going to be hosting, and Duke. This is the first time I've worked with Duke. He's a local host. First time I've seen him do comedy at all, and he's great. He was very. Very good. It was me, him, and Vecchione this week at Westport, and the shows were great. It was, it seemed like he'd been doing comedy a long time, but I don't think he's been doing it too long. But he's been here in St. Louis for a few years, and he's going to be opening the shows with Dan Chopin, who is a good friend of mine, and I haven't seen in a long time, and I haven't worked with in a while, so I'm excited to do the shows. It'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, 7:30 and 9:30, I believe, are the show times on Friday and Saturday, and then on Sunday, there's a 7:30 show as well, so.
Yeah, I think I saw Duke on like an open mic here a while back, and yeah, real funny guy. It's always exciting to watch. You know, I've watched a lot of these guys come up through our Funny Bone, and you know, it's just fun to watch as their careers grow, and as they, you know, even you said earlier, Tommy John again and stuff. I remember watching Tommy here on his way up, and then you know now he's got a CBS pilot.
Yeah,
stuff and
it's exciting.
It's crazy.
Can't wait to see Tommy's show. That's one of the cool parts about being involved in comedy and stuff is when you get to see somebody that you've known and see that you saw a long time ago, and you're like, man, that guy's got a lot of potential, and then you're like, whoa, everybody's seeing how much potential that guy. You know, it's really a neat part about stand up. That's what I liked about. That discovery sort of when you see someone new that you haven't seen before, and you get that at live shows so much more than you do at like from watching TV. Everybody can, you know, anybody can discover someone on Comedy Central or like a late show because they've already made it.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty, getting a TV spot is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And you know, they might not we got another phone call, sounds like but that's the best part about coming to a live show is that you never know. You might not see that person again. That, you know, there's a lot of comics that pass away that you might not, you know, you might see them and then be like, I remember this one hotel that I checked into, just got into this long conversation about comedy, and the last comic that she saw, and the last comic she had seen was Mitch Hedberg, and it was like a year before he died, and she had this you know, it's just it's a memorable thing.
Oh yeah,
that sticks with you as a live performance, much more than a special or something.
I told the story on here, but I got to see Mitch at the Pageant, and it was supposed to be him and Stephen Lynch on a double co-headliner tour.
Mm-hmm.
And Lynch backed out because he got the Wedding Singer on Broadway. So he went and did that, and playing Adam Sandler's character.
Yeah.
And so then Mitch brought some friends, and I can't remember. I think somebody's here. So I saw Mitch, and he... It was a lot of fun, man. It was really a great show. It just, but it sticks with me being that he passed shortly after that. It was like only, I think like a month or two after, and then he passed. It was crazy how soon it was. And
the Pageant's a huge venue, too.
Yeah.
That can sometimes, I've seen comedy at the Pageant. And where it was great, and then I saw comedy where I did not.
Yeah.
It was not a good show. So
I just saw John Mulaney there on us.
I'm sure that was a great show.
Night. Yeah, Saturday night.
Saturday night. Oh,
yeah, that was great, man. He put on a good show, and it was all new material. I think he's getting ready to gearing up to record a new special or something.
Did his show get canceled?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I asked that like I knew it was getting bad reviews when it first came out. I like him and I figured he's gonna have a good show, but shows are, you never know with shows.
Sure.
It either hits or it gets canceled.
Yeah. Hey, that's what he kinda makes a joke about it in the show last night or the Saturday night. He said you know, that him and his wife just bought a house because he's like, because we don't know how the TV business works. You know, like now he's got this big home to pay for, and he's got
no
show coming in anymore. Yeah. So yeah, he had Seton Smith open for him. You know him?
Seton Smith, I do not.
He was really funny. I guess he was on Mulaney with him.
Okay.
And stuff. But he was really good. The only thing, like, being a huge fan of comedy, like, I always kind of, you know, same thing with music, like, where, like, I kind of just go, like, who they kind of sound like sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
And,
happens a lot.
Yeah. And for me, like, it was distracting because he reminded me, a lot of, Chappelle at times when he would, like, get, like, kind of serious, like, soft stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, but then when he sometimes he would, his voice would go higher and he would talk faster. And he would remind me of, like, kind of D.L. Hughley, there. So, like, I don't know. It's kind of a mash between those two.
Yeah.
And
that's probably his influences.
Yeah, sure.
People that he liked to listen to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't ever want someone coming up. It happens all the time where people say, you know who you sound like?
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes it used to happen to me a lot. People would tell me I sound like Dane Cook a lot. But
yeah,
it was just because I think I moved around. I think I was animated, so they, like, would relate it to that. I don't think my inflection or anything sounds like him. But I don't know. Maybe. And also, he was also, like, one of the big comedians at the time.
Sure.
So maybe if I was, like, a bald, red-headed Irish guy right now, people would be like, you sound like Louis C.K.
Yeah, sure.
You know? Like, it's just whoever's popular at the time, sometimes they relate that to. But, But no one said that in, you know, four or five years. And it's not because I sound less like Dane Cook. It's just like Dane Cook's not
sure
a relevant comic.
Yeah,
as
I think
much. As much. He's still relevant, Dane, if you're listening and you're upset about this.
I think there's a... I think especially with comedy is that the fact that it's like kind of subjective. You know, people only... not a lot of people are in the clubs all the time, you know, like myself and, you know, other, but like... So they're only aware of, like, well, I only know Dane Cook is the only comedian I know because I saw him on Comedy Central or whatever, you know, it's like...
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, it's like, but there's...
But there are truly, I mean, there's sometimes when you hear somebody and you're like, man, that guy sounds... Oh, yeah. Like, if I see any Indian comic, I'm like, you are Aziz. Indian, any Indian with confidence.
Sure.
I'm like, you're not even doing comedy and you're hacking Aziz.
Yeah.
No.
I saw a guy... I went to Kansas City Improv one night, and I saw a guy open for Robert Schimmel. And he was, like, doing Pablo Francisco stuff, like, verbatim. Like, and I was like, man, I know this guy's stuff. Like, it's, like, it took me a while. I'm, like, listening to it, and I'm like, I know this material. Like, and then, like, but it's just, like, I don't know, I guess there's...
What was his name? That's what I always want to know. I'm like, what was his name? Kansas City Improv. I'm trying to guess who would do Pablo Francisco, Kansas City. I was a big Pablo Francisco fan, like, when I started out. So I don't say, this is my movie trailer voice, but I do, like, if I'm doing a movie, if I'm making fun of a movie or something, I will use that voice. I'll be... Like, I have a joke about the viewer discretion, where I talk about the following program may contain. So I just, like, impersonate that. But if I did that in my whole set, you'd hear that and be like, well, he's doing Pablo Francisco.
Yeah, you were doing Little Tortilla Boy. Yeah.
So, this summer, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. You know, you could do that. Yeah. A lot of impersonations that way, if you're impersonating somebody, you'll sound like that person doing it. But
I just saw Pablo like a month ago, man. It was my first time getting to see him live. I got to meet him and shake his hand and got a picture with him and stuff, and it was a lot of fun. I've been a big fan for a long time of his. Like, he's just he's crazy, man. He's a lot of fun.
I'd say more my, that's where I get a lot of that, my animation or something, is someone that, like, Pablo, I'd watch him and be like, but I watched Dane Cook coming up too, you know, you could probably relate it to that too, so it's not like, I'm not trying to shy away from that, that's fine. Someone told me I sound like Daniel Tosh one time, and I had not even heard of him, and then I heard his CD, and I was like, well, I like this guy, that's not bad to sound like this guy, but I thought he sounded like a mixture of Brian Regan, Jim Gaffigan, and Dane Cook, like, sure. together, too. Yeah. Like, when I first heard him, I was like, oh, he just sounds like these other people.
Yeah.
And now, you never say that because Daniel Tosh is so distinguished having his own show and his own V-neck look.
Yeah, right.
He's so distinguished.
Yeah.
So you you came up in St. Louis.
Yes. Started to my first open mic right here at the Westport Funny Bone. First time on stage.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun, kind of scary. Came and watched comedy probably months before then, just watching the open mics, watching the weekends, just kind of trying to blend in, not be noticed. Sure. And no one noticed me. No one cared. No one cared. Now if someone's like watching off to the side, you'd be like, oh, you want to be a comedian or something. Like, yeah. But at the time, there were a bunch of people that were in the... I remember on Tuesday night, I was just intrigued by... I'd go and sit down in the audience, and I was intrigued by how all the comics sat together on the side. And now I know more, like, the politics of it. Like, a lot of those people didn't even get on the list, and they're just still hanging out watching the show. Yeah. And then there's certain people that get on the list all the time. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I get a lot of people asking me... thinking I want to be a comedian because I'm down here all the time, and I'm just like, I'm just a big fan, you know. Like, I don't really have any desire to perform. I just enjoy coming to the show.
Enjoy watching it.
Yeah. So now you moved over to Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. I moved there probably a little over 5 years ago, maybe 6 years.
Yeah.
Something like that. And it's been good. I moved there first. The first thing the main reason was I just wanted to branch out a little bit in comedy, and I didn't feel like I was ready to make a big move to a big city, which maybe Chicago might have worked well. Like, Chicago is a great place to go and kind of make a first move for a comedian, I think would be, but because it's tough to get. It's tough to get in Chicago, and it's tough to gain respect in the city. I've seen a few people do it and do well.
I mean, there's a ton of people coming out of Chicago lately. I mean, you know, just like Mulaney, we said, Ron Funches, Matt Bronger, Kyle Kinane.
Isn't Ron Funches from Portland? I thought he was a Portland guy. Maybe he was in Chicago, then went to Portland, or in Chicago, then Portland.
Could have been.
But Bronger was in Chicago, I know that. And then Pete Holmes was in Chicago. Kamale was in Chicago. TJ Miller was in Chicago. But a lot of those guys, they were in Chicago for a little time, and then they went to Los Angeles or New York. So Chicago is kind of just like a... But there's a vibrant comedy scene now. Yeah. Now people that are there, there's Danny Callis is very funny. Mike Leibovitz.
Yeah,
it's hilarious. There's some very good Chicago guys.
James Fritz, right?
James Fritz, yeah. I've worked with James Fritz.
Funny.
Drew Freeze, I know. And then I'm trying to think of guys that are still there too, because there's a bunch of guys that have moved on that used to live there, like Will Miles and Kenny DeForest, or a couple guys. They have a show in New York, and they used to live in Chicago. I knew both those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just actually speaking of Chicago. I just drove up there. I got back home 4 o'clock on Tuesday morning. We drove up
4 o'clock this morning.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So he got in at 4 a.m.
I drove. We drove up there Sunday afternoon. Got there like 1 or something. We hung out in the city for a while, but we went up there mainly to hang out, eat pizza, but we also wanted to see the Undateable comedy tour with Chris D'Elia, Ron Funches, Brent Morin, and Rick Glassman.
Okay.
And so we went to the Vic Theater there in Chicago and saw that, and had a great time. It was a lot of fun. And then after the show, we hightailed back home to St. Louis. So yeah, we got home like 4 a.m. I napped, and I was like, I got to get to Westport and tell Gabe Key all about this story. So,
like, that's amazing. Yeah, why? You could have just been like, "Hey, Gabe, what about tomorrow?"
Yeah.
Well, we gotta get that loser promotion in on this podcast. That's great. That's a good. That sounds like a good show. You are a huge comedy fan too. Yeah, dedicated to going up to Chicago to watching a show on the show that was on. That show was on Monday night, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a Monday night show in Chicago. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, I wasn't really like planning to go. Like, it's kind of one of those things. Like, I wanted to go, and then like I didn't. I was like, I kind of talked myself out of it, and then and there was Chicago was the closest one. They only had like 8 dates they were doing as this tour, and so I kind of like talked myself out of it. I was like, I don't really have the money, but then I ended up working like just a ton of overtime lately. So I was like, you know what, screw it. Let's go and like let's have a good time. So took a couple vacation days and went up there, and
that's sweet. Great.
It's a great time, yeah. So
what was the theater the show was at?
It's the Vic Theater.
The Vic Theater.
Okay. Yeah. It's over towards Wrigley.
Oh, yeah.
That part of town.
Near the Wrigley Veals.
Yeah.
Wrigleyville.
One thing I was going to ask you, when did you get into doing this shirt swap stuff? Like, how long have you been doing that now? Like, I guess it's probably kind of phased out a little bit now, right?
Yeah. Not totally phased out, but I haven't done one in a long time. I used to. So I started it in Lansing, Michigan, and I had the first one. It's me wearing a Quebec Nordique shirt, and this guy's got like a red plaid, like kind of snap button Western style shirt that I like. He told me he's like, oh man, a huge Quebec Nordiques fan. I love that T-shirt. What would it take for me to get that T-shirt from you? And I was like, why don't you just give me your shirt that you have. So then he's like, this one right here? Yeah, let's do it. So then we just traded shirts. So the original one was an actual shirt trade. And then I said, well, let's get a picture before and after. And that'll be kind of funny.
Right.
We posted it on Facebook. And I got a lot of, you know, people commenting on it, people liking it. And people in real life coming up and like, what was that all about?
Yeah.
And actually, we at the time, we taped a Vine, too. Because Vine wasn't dead or extinct.
Yeah.
But we had a Vine of us swapping shirts. This is at a Connections Comedy Club in Lansing, Michigan, which is now closed, actually. Which is a great club. Tina Henson, I believe, was the manager. And she was one of the best managers in comedy. Always took very good care of all the comedians, and I really got to give her a nice shout out now that we're talking about the shirt swap. So we did that. We swapped shirts. I wrote a joke about it, started telling the joke on stage about swapping shirts, and then people would come up to me and ask if I want to swap shirts after a show, and it happened, and I just kept doing the joke, and every time I'd have a new week or I'd be going into a different town, I'd have a different shirt swap. Or one show, there were like 4 people that like lined up to do it after the show. And that, once that started happening, I started to like, okay, I don't want to tell this joke on stage anymore. And I'm not getting tired of swapping shirts, because then I just stopped telling the joke. And either I'd say, do you want to swap shirts? Or people that would seen it on Facebook when I'd come to their city.
Sure.
They'd be like, do you want to swap shirts with me? So now it's on my... I've got them all on my website. I had my buddy Brent Smalley, who used to do comedy, did my website with... it's GabeKia.com, and he put the shirt swaps all on one page. It's pretty cool. You can just like scroll through them and see them. And I just want to make sure that I give you his... His proper web address if you want to do something with his is called Something Web Design, and it's Brent Small. He's out of Indianapolis. Something Web Design is the guy that does it, and he does a really good job, and he hooked me up with my website. Give him a plug right there. And I had some people right when I made my website that were like, who did that for you? And then they went and had him make one for them too. He's a very good guy. Worked well, but the shirt swap stuff, like I said, I stopped telling the joke, and then I eventually like stopped asking people to swap shirts.
Yeah.
And I still do it every once in a while. I did one like about a month ago or something, but I want to keep it alive. It's stuff like that that's that's interesting and it keeps people interested
sure.
in what you're doing or, you know, and it's something, it's unique.
Sure.
I like little theme stuff in comedy too. Like I have like my Instagram is Abe Lincoln t-shirt and I collect Abe Lincoln t-shirts. I have probably 20 different Abe Lincoln t-shirts and it started out where I just had like four. And I kept wearing, I'd go and do comedy somewhere, and I'd wear one on stage, and then I'd come back the next day and wear a different one on stage. And people would be like, how many Abe Lincoln t-shirts do you have? So then I started buying more, so I could, like, people would be like, is that another one?
Yeah.
And I like stuff like that. It's, it's kind of just like, it's probably a trait I get from my mom. My mom likes, she gets really into crafts. Like, she'll be really into quilting one week, and then big into knitting, and then into rug hooking, and then into hoarding. so, I think it's probably something like that. I like keeping a themed, something themed is always fun.
Kind of reminds me, the fun of having the internet at our fingertips like this, like, When Ben Cronberg?
Yep.
Yeah.
When he got
kicked off of Last Comic Standing and that whole thing with Roseanne saying, go fuck himself, and then he started the hashtag, go fuck yourself.
Ben. Yeah.
And then, like, so that cat, like, he was milking that for a long time, like, we're just, and that was, it's kind of just fun to, like, you know, whether it's the shirt swap or the hashtags or whatever it is, but to have some sort of internet trend where people can kind of play with reality online. And
any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah.
I don't know Ben personally. I know who he is. I like him. He's very funny.
Yeah.
One of his jokes from his special is like one of my favorite jokes that I've ever heard. You'll have to watch his special and figure out which one's my favorite.
Yeah,
it's about coffee. Anyway, his thing on LCS was very. It's very interesting and funny to watch. That thing's like that show's all about publicity. And when someone tries to get publicity in a way they don't like, it's funny to see how they treat it too.
Yeah, I kind of talked to him about that a little bit outside of Firebird one night, and I don't know, you know, he kind of just said, you know, when you do that show, they can kind of edit it whatever the way they want. So like it kind of came off. In their favor, you know, compared to what
for sure
what really happened and stuff. But yeah, they you know they drummed it up to make some good drama for the show and things. And
made some good drama for him. I think that's the thing. You sign away all your right to have any control and that's why they do it like that.
Yeah.
That's why it's a cattle call like that. And it's a good opportunity to showcase for performers, but I don't think Last Comic Standing's. I'd love to be on the show.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
They're
great. Okay, thanks a lot, man.
No problem.
Yeah, you too.
They're. I guess they're getting ready to do a new one, and they just added Norm MacDonald as a judge.
As a judge.
Yeah,
that should be good.
So it'd be Norm, Roseanne, and.
Russell Peters?
No, Russell.
Russell was the one that dropped
Keenan. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Norm. Yeah. Russell was really good because he was like kind of in tune with the comedy scene and knew what was going on, whereas I don't think Roseanne or Keenan Ivory Wayans knew any of the comics that were involved.
Sure.
Which is good. I mean, it might be good, you know, just to get a fresh take. But yeah, I see. It's gonna be interesting. I like the show. I like when you get to see like when they do the joke or the best of jokes sort of showcases more so than the personal stories and the behind the scenes. Like I don't really just go up and have people showcase their jokes. You know? That's what I think the show does it best. When that show got into being more like a reality TV contestant based.
Right.
Oh, let's have a heckler in the audience. So you're going to encourage people to heckle? Like, that's acceptable? No. The hecklers get kicked out of comedy shows. But, big fan of the show. Watch it every year. Like I said, I tried out for it this year. Did not get called back.
Yeah.
But it was good to be... Yeah, it was good to be included in a showcase and to see, you know, to go do one of those intense, high pressure, everybody's doing like 3 minutes... and there's a group of, it was like 40 or 45 comics that were all, I knew everybody in the room. Sure. We all kind of knew who each other were.
It's kind of,
amongst
your
peers.
That's kind of like a, such a weird thing too. Like, you know, it's like, just to have that many people like rapid fire, just telling jokes and stuff. And like, to be that right, you know,
yeah,
mix that sticks out and stuff. And
for me, it was the funny part about that audition process was they had this little basket, and you go up and you draw your number where you're going to go. Which you're, I mean, at this point, you're like, you got your set. I've got my set ready. It's going to be all I'm worried about is where I'm going to go in the show. And I pick up this number, and it says like 17, and I'm like, oh, that's not bad, that's like right in the middle, you know. And then the 17 drops out of my hand, and I'm holding like 36, and I thought, no. And I remember I was like standing in front of this lady, and I wanted to drop the 36 back in the thing and be like, oops, it fell out of my hand, let me choose again. But and then I'd tell people, I'd tell the other comics, they're like, what number did you get? And I'd say my number, and it was, they put their hand on my shoulder like someone just died. They're like, oh, I'm so sorry. But it, I don't think it was a determining factor in my set. I had a fine set, and the guy that went after me had number 37, did great, and I think he's one of the people that actually moved on. So I think it's all more so in your, more or less in your head, but it is what it is. And I've auditioned before, and I'm glad to just even be, you know, part of it. It was very good.
Just like, it's not ideal for comedy at all. Like, I was listening to the Crab Feast a while ago with
Jay Larson.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they were talking, I forget her name now, but she went on America's Got Talent, and you know, that did her whole story. She walked out there, and she's got to start being funny in front of massive crowd, and
with no warm up or anything. Yeah, right. You're just going up to a call, and they're like, "This person's doing comedy as their routine." Yeah,
so
yeah, America's Got Talent's got to be a very difficult one to do. I think I know who the girl you're talking about is. That the one that does the impressions? Maybe, I don't know.
I think she was like a kind of like a stay at home mom. She's getting or that was her kind of backstory, but now she's like been doing this more full time.
Oh wow! Yeah, no, I'm not sure, but I know Taylor Williamson was on that show, and he got a huge bump of fans from it, and now he's got, you know, he did a very good job. He was very funny on the show.
Yeah.
I watched it myself, and then from other people hearing their reaction, it's really interesting to see somebody that I like knew, you know, knew of before, and then to see them become like a, you know, a household name.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, that whole reality TV phenomenon, you know, how fast like just that little bit of exposure can blow up overnight and stuff. And
yeah, you think about it, it used to be like that. There wasn't it used to be the Tonight Show was that little bit of exposure, but that's a huge, massive audience that you're getting to. With Last Comic Standing, I mean, there's 100 comedians involved, so, and the people that make it, so that's not as much exposure. And then when you get down, I like the broad field, because you get a good mix of different people, and people that I know from the road, and people I know that, you know, there's a lot of New York and LA people on those shows too. That's where the comics are. That's where they store all the comics. In New York and LA.
Yeah.
But all those shows, it's good to take advantage of them, especially even if it's like Ben Kronberg that didn't have what would be an ideal set on the show, but he's able to get some publicity out of it.
Make the most of it. What else you got planned for 2015?
2015 gigs coming up. I do have some stuff on the calendar, which is really nice. I'm going to Oklahoma next summer. I'm doing some stuff in Michigan in June. I'm going to be up in the Upper Peninsula, and then Duluth, doing a show up in Duluth, Minnesota. Also doing shows in Toledo in June. And then I'm going to be in Iowa in August. Yeah, so that's that's a broad view. But, like, literally almost a month and a half ago, I had nothing. I had nothing. I was so worried. I didn't even have this here in St. Louis. And then I got something from St. Louis, and then it just started, like, after that, I just started building up. And I was talking to my girlfriend that I've been dating for a while now, and just telling her there's a lot of anxiety that comes with that when I'm like, what? When nothing's on the schedule, it's like, does anybody like me still? Do they know I exist? But you got to keep relevant. It used to be that you do so just like through the internet and email and everything, but that's not anybody can do that now. So anybody can email. That's even I'm talking about like places that you've already worked and you're in at the club. You have to do things to differentiate yourself, which might mean stopping by that town even though you worked there before and saying, you know, looking for a guest set, doing the open mic, coming around, watching another comedian set, not asking for any stage time, just letting them know that you're still around, you're still interested, you're still doing it.
All right.
Stuff like that is that's the new press kit or whatever. What used to be in like the 90s and the early 2000s of like sending somebody a video or a link or something like that. Everybody sends people links. Sure. Like that's not going to get you anywhere. You got to do something a little bit above and beyond, a little bit past social media to get ahead. And I think that's a key to keeping getting booked. And then have you gotta do well too. You gotta have a reason to have them bring you back.
Right.
Gotta swap a shirt with a manager.
Right.
I swapped shirts with, oh my gosh, it was in Indianapolis, it was the club manager's daughters that were like 13 and 15 years old, and their parents, her mom was like, they wanna swap shirts so bad. And I'm like, I don't know if this is okay. Yeah, right. Like, this is not what it was intended to be. Like, oh, here's a little, but I'd done so many weird, like, I did a girl in a dress, you know, I swapped with a girl in a dress, I swapped with girls, I swapped with guys, swapped with a construction worker, a cop, that's on the list, that's on my bucket list, I want to swap shirts with a cop, that'll be the best, but I guess I hadn't done the underage girl yet. I mean, swap shirts with her, I didn't mean done. Yeah, but that, it was, her mom was the one taking the photo, so does that make it okay? Yeah. I don't know.
All right, man. Well, I guess we'll wrap this up, Gabe. I appreciate you hanging out, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This has been great.
So we got a loser show Wednesday night at Heavy Anchor. And we got Thursday through Sunday at the Valley Park Funny Bone with Dan Chopin.
Thursday through Sunday, and maybe Thursday after the Valley Park show, Funny Bone, I sometimes go down to Fitz's there on Del Mar, which is down in the Loop, and I did that last week when I was here at Westport. I did the Westport show, went down and did Fitz's. There's an open mic. It starts, I think, at like 10:30, something like that, and it runs pretty late, and it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of places around here and around town that I like to hit up, and that's why it's cool to do that loser show too. And the Heavy Anchor. The Heavy Anchor is a great little establishment, great little bar up there, and I think it's in South City a little bit.
Yeah, it's Bevo neighborhood.
The Bevo Mill
neighborhood.
And you can some little self promotion. You can see my website that I was talking about, something web design, which is Brent Smalley's deal. That's GabeKia.com. Then you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Gabe Kia. And I'm also on Instagram as Abe Lincoln T-shirt, as I said. Those are all my tags to follow if you want, if anybody's interested.
All right, man. Well, yeah, come on out to a show. Let's pack the place. So
let's pack it out. Hey, thanks a lot.
All right.
Rock Paper Podcast out.
Thanks, Gabe.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey there, this is Gabe Kia, and you are listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. All right, take two. Darn it! You can keep that one if you want too. Hi there, this is... This is take three. Take four. And I think that was it. We will...